I'm just going to see Gabby's
trunks. And just letting people know that we audio record these discussions and transcribe them and put them up on the blog. Hopefully that won't constrain anyone says.
Where's the thing?
It's just there.
Yeah.
It's
just
there. Yeah. Yeah. Apologies.
You're right.
You just missed all the technical stuff.
Yeah. And now they want me to say something inspiring.
Okay, I'm ready.
So Penny Stevens has just arrived as well.
Sorry, folks.
We've got Kay, Wendy and Jenny.
Okay. This is where I'm going to show quite extensively my lack of expertise with Scratch, because the whole project was about what the children did with Scratch and I had no time to learn it, and they realised that if they were going to do something, they had to learn it. So now putting me in charge of it means that I have to show just how incompetent I am with Scratch. So what I'm going to do is we're going to have a look, first of all, at some of the animations that the children did, and then we're going to have a look at some of the presentations that the children did. What they did that they... Mass Club. Let's go back and explain Mass Club. Yep, you just nod at me and then kick me under the table when I go too fast. Charles will come in when he feels that I haven't talked enough, which is probably not ever because I talk too much. Mass Club we have had going at Wagga for the last 2 years. The children come in on a Tuesday afternoon from 4 o'clock till 5:30. And there are two rules in Mass Club. One of them is that they must do something which is mathematical, and the other one is that they do not turn me into a grumpy teacher. And the rest of the time they can do whatever they feel like doing. And we provide, I have some volunteer student teachers who come in and help, not as many as I would like, but one in particular who's been going with us pretty well since we started. He's in the second year at the moment. And he will sometimes come in with problems that he wants the children to try out. We also bought from Doug Williams 100 of his problem-solving task centres, which we actually use with our student teachers. But the children, as a default, if they've got nothing else to do, they know that the default is to go and work on a problem-solving task out of the lunch boxes at the back of the room. The children have done a variety of things of their own projects. We've had the first year we were working at Easter. I did a Easter Bunny mass trail around the university, and then many of the groups pick up on that idea. And the end of last year we went to Monte Cristo's at Junee and did a haunted murder mystery round mathematics, where the parents came along and had to get involved in solving the problems. So and one of the problems that they had to work on there was working out pounds, shillings and pence. So that was it's been an interactive thing. We've had children come and we've had children go across the 2 years. Sometimes sport comes in, so they come to us for the winter months, but they're not there for the summer months. Sometimes they're there for the summer terms and they're not there for the winter terms. Sometimes they come for one term and then they never come back to us. Sometimes they come, I mean, some of them have been coming for the whole 2 years. So it's a very mixed and varied group.
So how many have you had all up and how many do you generally get at each session?
We get roughly between 10 and 15 at each session. Over the course of 2 years we've probably seen about 30 different children. They come from primary schools, a variety of primary schools around Wagga. They are predominantly in years 5 and 6. But we have had and will continue to have some year threes who come in. They are often the children who are not necessarily good at mathematics, but like mathematics. They like the problem-solving aspects of mathematics. They're often children who perhaps don't have other sporting interests that do things, so it gets them together as a group of children who like doing maths problems, where in one school or one class there's not a lot of kids who'll put their hands up and say, I'd actually like to spend an hour and a half on the same problem, thank you very much. So it gives them an opportunity to involve in mathematics and problem solving in a way that they don't necessarily have at school. So what we did with this project is that I went to Merga in the middle of the year, which is the Maths Education Research Conference in Fremantle. And the very first presentation that I went to was one by Nigel Calder, and it was on the paper that I sent round very late yesterday afternoon. And he was showing what he had been monitoring a class. It's described as year six, but in Australian terms it's a year five class, so it's a similar sort of age group to our age group. And he was showing what Scratch can do, described the fact that it's an MIT written software. It's designed for the children to develop animations for their own
development of logo.
Yes. For those of you who remember Logo, it's with the turtle. It's the same people who developed Scratch who developed this. It's free software. There's a website that you can join up to, that you can share projects with, that they have some tutorials, not that I ever managed to find them, but Nigel showed me one and I thought, oh good, I can just give this to the kids and then see what they do with it.
Is it Seymour Papert? Was he the developer of Logo? Did he develop Scratch?
I don't know that he developed Scratch because he must be getting on a bit now.
He's very old now and he was run down some years ago.
But some of the other people on his Logo team.
There is an institute or sort of
centre. It's comes out of a group of people who are interested in problem solving as such, with the mathematics as coming through the problem solving, rather than seeing the mathematics as being what is taught through the technology or the software or whatever.
Hmm.
And so when I took it to the students and showed it to them, they were really impressed, partly because they thought that they could just play computer games. And then I said, look, well, you know the rules. The rules are that you have to do something which is mathematics and you have to not turn me into a grumpy teacher. So how are we going to ensure that that happens while you work on that? And by a little bit of prompting and a little bit of channeling and a little bit of, funneling, we came up with this idea that they had to do a presentation where they showed their animation, but they also talked about the mathematics that they saw in these animations when they were putting them together. And we'll have a look at what different children took on that as their take of that. So the different foci, and it was very gendered, and it's one of the sort of interests of what sorts of things focused their attention and how they did it. Two of the older boys, Ryan and Brad, took on the main teaching roles. So they were the ones who explored, they were the ones who fiddled most, and they were the ones that the other children turned to. But then there was another young boy called David who, it was his first term, and he came to us because his mother was on internship and she needed him to do something in the afternoons while she was trying to get her teaching together. And he was funny because he turned up and he said, and I suspect because his mother knows what we expect in our maths class, and he said to me, Mum says you might expect too much of me, and you've got very high expectations. And I said, yeah, I am going to expect a lot of you and we'll see where you go with it. And he found out how to do actually bouncing the balls around, and we'll see how it bounces around the screen. But he found things that the other kids didn't. And so it was a real community where they actually talked to each other and were asking but also showing in different ways. And they took on different aspects as being the things that were of interest to them.
Okay.
So are there any questions at that point?
When you said it was gendered, so you were, that was mainly just in relation to the fact that there were two boys who took on a leadership role, or was it, did you find that girls in particular were less engaged with it?
The girls were engaged, but in very different ways. And we'll have a look at their projects and see what their projects did, and look at their presentations and see what their presentations did. And then we'll have a look at the boys and look at what they did. But the way that they approached what they were interested in getting out of the animations and doing the presentations were different.
Tamsin, could you remind me of the ages of the children again, please?
So they're year threes to year six. The year three child took a lot of trying to keep him on task. He was much happier just playing the games and actually looking at developing things and actually putting a presentation together was a more exhausting process than one would have hoped. I think is probably the easiest way to describe it. But having said that, he did do it and he was really keen on it, and he insisted that he got a copy of his Scratch project. So what was the deal is that I bought 2 gigabyte memory sticks for each student. At Wagga we have a set of laptops that I would bring into the maths club each week so that they had their own ones. I would log them on. I'm not sure if Barney's yet seen my bills, but that's okay. He's not complained yet. And so they worked on their Scratch projects, but because these were used by student teachers during the week, they couldn't save them on the computers. So the way that we got around that was that each child got a thumb drive and we stuck their name on it.
So they couldn't take it home and do work on it at home?
They couldn't take it home and do work on it at home, except that some of them, like David, this young one who came for the first time, he brought his own thumb drive in. So at the end of each week, he would actually save both onto the thumb drive and also onto his home one. And I insisted that they did not take it home because I didn't want them turning up and going, "Oh, I forgot my thumb drive." The two boys, Ryan and Brad, who were the most sort of into working out what is, they got on and logged themselves in and set up accounts with the project site. So then they could store it on the project site. We had decided against doing that originally because the wireless, although it works, trying to get 15 students to upload Scratch projects at the end of the session just wasn't, the time frame just isn't supportive of doing that. So it's a sort of been a problem-solving process around just trying to get it up and running and working as much as anything else. So the consequences of that is that I have their thumb drives with their Scratch projects and their presentations on it. We did the presentations the first week of this term. We were going to actually do it the last week of last term, but it turned out that half of them were away on camp that week, so we had to put it off until this term. Is there anything else I've missed?
I think that's a pretty good context description.
Context description? Great. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'll start...
We can put the transcript straight into a paper.
Yeah. I hope so.
Anyone who says something becomes an author.
That's it. That's it. This is a joint authored paper. I can see it happening. I'm thinking that we'll put all the kids' names on it as well. We have ethics approval from the children and their parents to actually use their projects in this way. And the parents, because they've came to the presentation, saw what the animations were and what the presentations were, so we can, you know, that they know what they were signing up for, really. So the two, Brian and Brad, did work on things at home, and then connected. Sometimes I'd have to connect into the internet to go and get things. And at one point in time, because I realised that they were getting to a point where they had done as much as they could do from exploration, and actually having someone who knew what they were doing would have helped them enormously to move to the next step. And given my workload, that wasn't going to be me, and given Trolls' workload, it wasn't going to be him. And by asking, we found someone in film and television who was really interested in coming and working with us. But the Sunday before the Tuesday that he turned up, he broke his leg and wasn't going to even be at work. So that stopped that in its tracks, really. So the children sort of got over that hurdle and went and found these projects on the website, and then sort of captured the scripts off them and then sort of turned them into their own projects. So what we will see is a very different sort of variety of what they did, and it depends on how they actually made use of other people's scripts. And what I mean by a script is these things in the middle here, under in the second column, this is where you write your script. And your script comes into a sort of format where you have different instructions from over here that you pull across and add in. And you can either block them so it just keeps going, or you can have them as individual steps. And this is where my unfamiliarity with Scratch is going to come to the fore, because I will press buttons and hope that something happens, and if it doesn't, I'm not sure why.
So what are they doing? They're producing an animation, and they're doing that in a sort of logo-style way with a series of instructions.
And you can see the small, you can see the little tap, they sort of tap together. You can see to the left of the yellow one, just under the when, there is sort of a little...
And you can see there's different...
Yeah, so it's a little multimedia scripting tool.
Yeah.
But it's simplistic enough that they're not having to write anything. They're just clipping together things and then being able to change components. So here you can actually change what sound you want to put in here. You're not having to create it from scratch as stuff. You get stuff that you can then rearrange and put together. So let's see if I can get Gabby's dancing evil guy to work. She says, full of hope. Come on, you can do this.
It said something when you had the mouse of the green.
Start green. That's what I thought. You start the green by green flag strip.
And you don't, if you click it,
nothing seems to happen. I knew it was going to show.
What does the red one is?
Yeah. What, you probably need to get a child in here.
I know. I did suggest that actually everyone come to the presentations when we did them, and then the kids could explain exactly what they were doing rather than me doing what we were doing.
I think we said Tuesday wasn't going to work for Lauren and I, so...
Yes.
Sorry.
They did something about making a full screen first.
What about?
Yeah, that's right.
All I can think of.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be up to the top there. It's just above Gabby's dancing.
Yeah, I was thinking.
No, the other side, just above that Gabby's.
It's sort of in the middle.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah. These are the gross sprites, though, and the sprites are these things here.
What if you right-click somewhere in that area? Yeah. Just right-click there. No, right click. No. Yep. No, that's not going to be it. What if you right click on the green flag?
What about stage? Does that help, or is that just the back?
Let me just...
Yep. Yeah, I like that. Click on stage down there. Okay, yep. I think click there. What happens?
That's just the background. That's just the background. Let me see if I can get another one up.
Yep.
She says, full of hope.
Yeah, that's all just about, yeah, so you've got to sort of, maybe you've got to switch into a sort of playback mode.
Yeah, I mean, that was what the kids did.
You have to expose it or anything
like that?
Didn't something happen when you press it?
No, it's pretty simple. Whatever it is we have to do, it is pretty
it is very simple
because the kids just did it, you know?
Let's press this pesky times it and see what happens.
Ah, yeah, that was it, actually.
Which one?
Spacebar.
Yeah.
No. What if you click on the first step in the list of steps over the left? Does that... is that the step, system of steps over on that left-hand side, or is that just a...
What's in
that? Maybe the last step.
That one top right-hand corner is one of those, like... See, you've got this...
Now press spacebar.
I love technology when it works. I should have got instructions from the kids. I'm really sorry.
Well, do you want to...
There's not like a help.
Why don't you...
Maybe we could have a look at something else from the site, from the Scratch site.
Yeah, we could do that.
Here's what I reckon you should do. I reckon you should let Lorette have a play with it for a minute while you talk more about the project, I bet you.
Why do you think I...
Why do I think? Because you tend to have some ideas about things, and I just reckon sometimes
playing
is the best way.
Yeah, let me just... I'll just...
Or you can let me have a go, as I reckon.
Yeah, let me just... I'll just go to George's project and just see whether... anything to go.
Something moved.
Something just happened. Ah. Yeah. You see, I know it had something to do with the spacebar.
You have to keep hitting spacebar for each step of the thing, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it should, there it should must be something which will just play it, because...
Then you could go back to sound, because there were instructions in the step section. So when, if I'm reading the instructions properly... See, that's just the costumes that you put in with it. So when space...
When the space key press turned 10 degrees, So that's it. It's an interactive thing. It's not an animation.
Yeah.
So
but there is actually... There is... It does do...
But I mean, we don't know if this one does. Actually.
See, this particular one is coded to be interactive
steps,
based on the...
10, 15 degrees.
There's a motion key up on the left.
What are you supposed to be doing with those things?
And a control key up on the left. Do they have any use?
I think, though, that these are the scripts that you can get for doing these different things and then pull them over.
So
this is what you click on to move, you know...
The toolbox is to the left and then the actual... Constructions.
What should happen with this is that when you actually play it, Georgia has actually recorded herself giving the background to what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm surprised that it's just doing this, because...
But is a sound connected?
I reckon you might have the wrong file. I reckon you've just brought up her Scratch file rather than her recorded presentation file.
No, she was recorded into Scratch.
But has she got another one that's the recorded presentation? Because, as Lorette said, that one's just got a very simple script, which is press spacebar to do that. And if that's the script, then you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's the only... You see, the pics for Scratch, PowerPoint, videos for the presentation.
What about videos for presentation?
No, the videos for presentation is how she talks about doing the mathematics. So...
My projects?
Yeah, no, it's either... Yeah. This is her project, because this is the one she presented.
And the PowerPoint sound.
Is this sound actually connected to here? That's the other thing.
Well, your sound will be here. It's on mute at the moment.
Ah, well, you see, that might be the problem.
So let's unmute it.
Yeah.
And put the volume
it's
right up.
It's still... Yeah.
And then put it up. And then it'll play through the...
Okay.
We'll hear it, and we'll hear it on the...
Well, that might have been what the problem was. So... If we go here, no, nothing.
Nope.
No, 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 no.
There's no sound.
Okay, let's see if we can get one of the boys up and see whether...
And so presumably they, you know, there's a fair bit of work in building, putting all the media in and...
Yeah, let me see if I can get these up. And you can see them actually talking.
Circular motion.
Presentations did for the girls particularly, the presentations became more interesting than the scratch projects, because thinking about the mathematics actually then allowed them to connect to mathematics in another way.
Mm.
And so you get these lovely little videos which go with that.
It's really interesting. She goes to such lengths to describe what a circular motion is, and this is a circular motion. This, I mean, it must point to that she's actually understanding something about circular motion and the sort of scope of that notion. I mean, that would be...
Okay, let me just pull out... So I'm going to take George's off. So how do I...
You cancel that, Tamsin.
Cancel.
And then you close scratch.
I close scratch.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You don't save.
Yeah. Okay.
And then...
And then you can take the ask them.
And then I do this and take away Georgia was F. Take away F. And then I might just take away Gabby's as well. Okay. And then let's have a look at David.
So there's some sort of tool within it that allows you to sort of like record your voice as a sort of a voice annotation to an interactive thing.
Yeah.
So you would think that you're storing that as a separate file, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you put yourself in, you can actually take a photo of yourself and you can become a sprite.
Yeah, well, there was a photo in that first one.
Yeah.
So, okay. It's got to be something slightly different about playing events in that form.
David's Project 2.
When you click, you can see the green
flag. Yeah, so this begins when the flag's clicked, and then it seems like it's got a heap of stuff going on when you do it.
Yeah, and some of this he has taken from others and integrated it, but when you see the bouncing of the things, that is something he discovered all by himself. So let's have a go at it and.
He doesn't Yeah.
And then there was a bit, some other interactive stuff going on there, but you need to read the script to see what the, what I'm supposed to do,
because they had all sorts of other things where you press different buttons.
But if you just have a look at that script, we'll be able to figure that out.
Click with the mouse, what happens then?
So if you do the script,
yeah.
Until touching slot one, so like that slot one, so these things here are interactive. When you click on them, something happens.
Yeah.
And then...
So you just follow the instructions.
And then there's something there about...
Oh, if we can actually run it here, okay.
Go to 25, some X25 or something. Have you seen an X25 times in?
They're coordinates on the screen, so somehow you... Yeah, the noise gets to you after a while.
When I receive watermelon using, what does that mean?
It's one of those games where...
Things will happen. These things are going to come into play, and when they come in, other things will happen.
Yep.
So, is there any connection between what you're doing and what's happening on the screen?
Some, but not a lot, I suspect. And something has to do with this money. These are the awards of when you actually land on something. But
so what, the letters have to land on a square?
Something.
So it means you have to negotiate that with the up and down screen keys then?
I'm pressing up and down screen.
Yeah, there's more like the script goes, scrolls down the script and you can see what other interactive options there are maybe. So there's stuff about...
Repeat until touching slot one.
What about that, when I receive potato using, so it's like...
See, these are the tomatoes. So there's the tomato.
And the potatoes
too. And I think it's one of those games where things turn... Oh, look, I can move them, but I don't know where to put them.
Yeah, well, but that's because you're constructing the game.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
And then there's some way to get those potatoes and watermelons, and when that happens, other things happen. But I don't know how to get them.
I was just wondering if you click on the little slot, like as the letter gets close to it.
No,
I'm just thinking whether that gets your points.
I'm wondering if you need to interact with the space by and the up and down scroll keys simultaneously.
It doesn't seem to have space bar, this one, like in the script there, does it?
No.
It seems to be about but touching
when I receive,
things.
What does the down arrow next to tomato using see there? Yeah. At the top there.
So I don't know what when I receive that means. Where did you receive it from?
But these are all controls. These are yellow, orange ones. If you go to that one and see.
These are the
standard controls, as far as I, the building blocks.
And there's not an option up the top in that menu there for like playing a presentation or something, like right up there. Well, see the top right-hand icon? That was the full screen, wasn't it? That little icon there, that was full screen.
Yeah, what about the ones on the left where it says scratch? Is there a pull-down menu on scratch?
No, and this changes the language, and really we don't want to go there because I then have to find the English version to come back to it. We've been there, done that, trust me.
Yeah.
I can do that part.
Yeah, so file hasn't got any, edit.
What happens if you go open?
Sorry, look at edit again. Start single stepping.
No,
we don't want that.
That would be stepping one step through the program at a time.
Okay, so we don't want stop single. Yeah.
Okay, let me just open another one of.
What were you going to say, Wendy?
I was just going to say in that left hand menu where it's got when clicked and it's got the little green flag.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way you can drag that over and perhaps drag that down over the whole presentation and then click on the flag?
No.
It is a flag up there.
Oh, it is too, yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Now we've got sound. This is a different file.
This is a different file by the same student.
When you click on the right answer.
So,
the bouncing.
It was because he found out how to do it before anybody else.
So it's everywhere.
anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and
maths nerds produce when given creative license.
I think the background picture changes along the way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I thought it was from clicking.
Oh, but I don't think it's.
Oh no, here this is the space part. Oh yeah, and we have these little things, and these move along, you see, and they're supposed to eat them and do other stuff, and you get the little flames coming up when I press the up button.
You have to interrupt the space bar. Hierarchies.
Yeah,
that's what I'm imagining.
You see, I didn't have this in my youth, and I'm completely, you know.
Yeah, this is cool.
It reminds me of when kids were playing, because there were some keys that pissed sort of on you.
Yeah, now we have two musics going over the top of everything. Yeah. Anyway. So you can see that some of them work in different ways that I can actually work, but yeah, and the math seems to be a sort of background on the side.
The maths,
yeah, the questions, because you can't add the question, you can't answer the questions or do anything with the questions. The mouse must do something too.
So what's your next step in using these resources the kids have created?
Creating the purpose rather than the app.
The idea was to see what they did with it in a term. What I think, if we did anything more with it, and we would need someone to come in and actually move them off, or we needed to have some actual time to learn how to use it so that we could move the children on and actually do things. But it was really a sort of, here kids, you've got this. This is the project. What can you do with it? Don't ask me to help you because I can't.
So are you looking at that now as your data, you know, to analyse, or are you looking to, is the only part way through this?
No. At this point in time, we've collected it because it was interesting.
Yeah.
What we do with it, we have no idea.
Still looking for some ideas.
Well, it's just...
That's not how you write it up in the paper, though.
No, at the moment...
A research question there, something.
Yeah, at the moment we are so overwhelmed with what we have to get done that I can't think about another project. But it was too good data to let it go. Yeah. So at that point in time, this is where we're at. We have data, it's interesting. You can see that the kids have taken it on in different ways. It would be lovely to analyse it, and I think looking at... what they do, comparing what they do with their presentations compared to what they've done with the actual projects. Because you can see here that they've had to make a decision about sizing. They've had to make a decision about movements orientation. And orientation. They've had to sort of make some decisions about the speed and the direction that they're going in. There's actually... by implication, they're working with mathematics. And one of the interesting things in Nigel's paper was to see whether they actually understood the mathematics that they were actually working with.
But I think it raises a question about what mathematics is.
Mm.
Mm.
And because, I mean, when you're eating, is that forking? You use a fork when you're eating, but you don't call that activity for forking. You call it eating. And yes, there are mathematical, there are elements in here that you could call mathematical, but does it make it mathematics?
Is algorithmic thinking, that fits within mathematics?
Yes, it does.
And I mean, to me, that's the complexity here is you're basically programming, you're developing, you're working out a series of steps to make something happen, and there's quite a lot of complex.
I mean, there's a lot of understanding on how different elements go together and what numbers mean. I mean, each of these numbers, they have a meaning in this particular context. But I mean, it's not mathematical in the sense that you're looking for rules or trying to prove anything or come to some sort of deep and meaningful understanding of triangles or whatever. So I think it's another. If this is mathematics, it's another conceptualization of what mathematics is. It might be very interesting because the classical type of mathematics doesn't sell very well.
Mm.
I think they're very interesting comments, Troll, and I'm thinking about, in a sense, it's like ethnomathematics, because the mathematics is there, but actually using words for it is much harder. And also the fact that without sort of pulling out, or this is the maths that you do, making maybe some links to school maths, they're not seeing that either. So even if it is algorithms, or even if it's problem solving, well, you know, you had a problem. You set yourself a problem, you posed yourself a question, you solved your question. And you were doing it so fast that you probably didn't even realise that you'd asked the question of, I've got to make the step smaller or bigger or more or whatever. And just drawing that out as, well, that was problem solving in mathematics.
And that social constructivist approach to problem solving. So they weren't working in isolation, they were working with each other.
That's it. And they chose the problems that they wanted to engage with. But Sue, you know, I wanted to ask you, because your work's been on visualisation, whether this sort of thing connects in any way.
Mine was actually on word problems. Yeah, they had no pictures. And they had to come up with their own pictures, whether it's in the mind or on paper.
Because here they've had to think about what it is that they wanted. And sometimes they just played around with it and something came up and they went, yeah, yeah, it's okay. But other times they've actually tried to get to something.
But, I mean, again, if this is mathematics, you can also see how it allows for them to bring in their very sort of gendered cultural background. I mean, the boys, they did all of these bling-bling and move around and bouncing, and the girls, they had sort of, you know, fluffy animals. And
fairly aesthetic.
Yeah, very, very aesthetic. And then they had sort of very traditional school miss mathematics, I mean, 999 plus 12, and those sorts of things. But and of course, you could in another context question these identifications, but that's what they come with. And this program actually allows them to express that. I mean, it's sort of, there's no barrier to overcome to be present as with what you come with, if you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. Whereas in sort of more traditional mathematics teaching, you have to sort of leave your identity outside the classroom, really.
I wonder, you
know. By the way, Thompson, they're using Scratch in around Alice Springs with their
with their one unit. Yeah.
See that Chris Haber? Did you ever make
no
contact with him? There's a bloke called Chris Haber.
Yeah.
You're not.
Tony and I are his supervisors.
Ah, good. I'm so glad, because he wanted to do a PhD. I couldn't take him on. I had too much on, and I didn't follow up with him to see where he got to. I know he'd been used. So is he doing his PhD, and is he focusing on some of the stuff he's been doing with Scratch in that?
I think so, and the other things he's been doing with the computers, yeah.
Yeah. Because he might be someone who would be interested in talking to these students.
I've already told him about Samson and Trolls doing this project, and about sent him Calder's paper as well. And he's written a paper, I think, that he's sent off to a journal. Well, I know he sent it to me to ask for some comments. He hasn't started because he's hoping to pick up a scholarship next semester, next session, you know, in the new year, because he didn't have a scholarship for this year, so he's hoping he'd get a scholarship for next year. So that's when he's actually going to start now.
So we should send him a transcript of this session, because he might have some comments. He might come into the blog and tell us all sorts of stuff that we... Because he's been using it for ages with Indigenous kids.
Mm.
I was just thinking about the math stuff. And, you know, you sort of... conventionally, you sort of break up maths curriculum into the sort of space and number. Mm. You know, what this is getting at is something that's... is additional to that. It's the dynamic. You create something that's dynamic and interactive. It's a dimension of the world around us that isn't captured by space or number solely. It's the time dimension. And if you look at the skills that we need for, you know, in the modern world, there's a you know, I mean, obviously computer programming is a skill that some people need, but there's a whole lot of other skills that we have in terms of the way we use technology in our work in any profession where this sort of thinking is really important. So I just wonder if there's some work that's worth exploring in terms of the nature of mathematics and saying, well, this is clearly a type of thinking that is valuable. It definitely doesn't fit anywhere else. It should fit into mathematics. Is there a forgotten piece of the mathematics puzzle that's sort of being exposed here?
Yeah, and actually it's a very interesting comment because there have been people in England who have started off with machines, basically, and also some people in Italy, and using the machines to explore the mathematics, but of course they keep taking it out of curriculum to reduce the amount of curriculum that's there. But the other interesting thing is that in fact in indigenous communities that is probably where people start with their mathematics too. Because time always becomes a dimension for everything. I mean, distance is mostly seen in senses of time as well. So it's always been an interaction there.
Can I just show you two more scratch projects and then one more presentation? And this was done by two girls and they worked very, very closely together. And for them, time was essential, but not in a sense of anything except actually getting their recordings right. But they identified time as being absolutely essential for being able to get their recordings right because they were recording it together. So if I can get this to work.
The game is coming to life, part one. The game is coming to life, part one.
Please answer all the questions going down the page and write them in the box down below. When you are finished, please press the tick.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I get the...
The game is coming to life, part one.
Part one is the...
Yeah, there's part two. And I can't... Oh, look, we can get... Okay, I don't know where the question's gone to, but if I put in... 13 or something and then press the tick. I'm not.
Now I will tell you the answers. The answers are 0, then 98, 250, second is 28, last but not least, 86. If you got them all right, congratulations. If you got them all wrong, keep on trying. Now it'll be level 2.
So I think, I don't...
And you will have to do the same thing. Again, you will please answer all the questions going down the page and put your answer in the box. Then press the tick. Then I will tell you the end.
That's the end.
That's the end.
Yeah. There's the end. I'm not quite sure how to actually get the questions up. I'm sorry.
Is it... There's something about... pressing Q. Oh,
yeah, and that was where I got where you got the different recordings coming through.
It's taking me crazy.
Yeah. But if I can stop this and now go back to here, and then I'll get up the other half of this, which is on Jane's recording. Come on, you can go up to...
There we go.
So to see this mix, this mix of pre-SLS lessons with the small animals and then these sort of.
The game is coming to life, part two. The game is coming to life. Your task is to answer a series of questions. The first question is 12 times 7. Write it in the box and I will tell you the answer.
I mean, that's the thing for them to, you know, think about how to communicate the maths, but, you know,
It gives you actually insights on what they think is important in mathematics.
No, but it also tells you about the ways in which they constructed the math teacher. This is a discourse that represents exactly what their math teacher is doing. So if you're not doing that, then you're not a math teacher.
And Maths Club, of course, is very different to that. So it's interesting to see how they brought that in as soon as, you know.
And the way they talk slow, you know, that's what teachers do.
You talk down slow, you don't understand it, so I'm going to slow it down so you get it.
I call it boring.
Yeah, you've got to use your boring voice when you're talking to the teacher.
But the timing of getting these recordings was the absolute thing that they picked up as being mathematical, that they had the challenge they had to deal with. So it was really interesting. I think we'll give them.
When you publish out of this, there's a heap of literature on, like, there was a lot of literature on the, you know, educational multimedia, especially in the sort of, you know, pre-internet days of EdTech. That was a real focus, and there was a whole community that basically argued that forget about trying to produce multimedia learning resources with content embedded in them. Think about getting students to construct multimedia where their learning comes through the construction of the multimedia. That's how they'll learn, not from the resources, but through the construction. So there's a heap. I can direct you to some literature that will help you in that. Sort of, you know. I mean, I don't buy it all. I do think there is value in both, but there's certainly value.
One of the ALTC grants that has just come forward and got approval funded, it's called a slow motion. It's looking at teaching science through slow motion and the development of animations with clay models.
That's
then,
like Gavin Bullong got. Yeah. Mm.
He's just got a lot of money to take that and introduce it into tertiary education, apparently. But this is this idea of constructing, so it's actually teaching pre-service teachers about the science concepts they need at the same time as they create a slow motion.
Yeah.
So that's along the same vein of what you were just talking about in terms of.
Because they used to do that with like clay models and single photographs, and then another one is probably doing it with technology.
Yeah, he is now. Yeah, but it's that again about constructing rather than here's a virtual simulation, go for it, you know.
So you put in practice your understanding of the concept by producing a visual representation of it, rather than trying to develop an understanding.
When
you
unpack
the
concept and your own understanding of the concept, you have to be very sure of it before you think that you can.
Which is really, you know, your interactive whiteboard stuff you did with your students was really like that, wasn't it? I mean, you were getting it through understanding the concept by the way that they portrayed it in there.
Yeah, by the way they in turn taught it, you know, tried to teach it.
So I'll just run you through Chloe and Jane's PowerPoint presentation. And so they did that, and then they showed their actual sort of putting together of things. So they saw it as that what they were doing was that the questions that they asked was addition and subtraction in part one, and Jane did multiplication, and it's exactly as it was presented, and div. Multiplication and div.
They've seen too much television.
Yeah.
The way they pose for the camera.
Yeah, it's a good it's amazing where the other influences, you can sort of go, this is where that's come from and that's where this has come from. But yeah, so they're the right size and our maths questions. But they don't talk about the time, but when I talk to them, and this is the interesting thing, is when I talk to them about it, the thing that they really focused on was getting the timing right for doing their recordings. You know, the actual animation wasn't to do, they couldn't see it, but they did recognise that when they had to do this recording, and I thought it was in there, but it's not, was the main sort of mass part they had to engage with, because that's what they had to get right in order to bring both voices together. Exactly the time, same time.
Thompson, have you thought? I mean, I'm just coming back to the gender issue that you raised earlier, the ways in which this displays the different ways in which the genders. But what these two girls are showing to me, they're very compartmentalized in their thinking, very, very structured. And that is against the ways in which girls are expected to think. Whereas if you look at the other guy with the crazy music
one on top of the other, and the bouncing ball is just going all over the place. His, the way he is depicting his thinking is more along the lines in which we expect girls might be thinking, in terms of that creative spiral, circular motion, rather than this very linear progress. So it seems as though just these two girls I've seen, they're working against the normative constructions of the ways in which girls are expected to think. And I think that's really, really interesting.
It's really, you know, because we have students who are coming because they like doing maths problem solving. And what does it mean to like doing maths problem solving? Well, for some of them, it's because they've had a lot of success doing word problems. And the older sister of Jane, she was actually the reason why we started the whole maths club in the first place, because her mother had been one of my student teachers in the distance course, and she came to me and said, look, they're thinking of putting this child straight up into high school next year. She's only in year five because they can't cope with her maths that she's doing. And I'm really worried that socially she's not ready for that. And it's that sort of, when she came to maths club, and one of our rules is, you know, apart from the grumpy teacher one, is that you actually have to persevere with a problem. She's never had a problem that she had to persevere with in her life. And it was the first time that she had to actually deal with something which took longer than 10 seconds to solve. And she resented that to start with.
Because she was so used to being the best and everything was easy.
Yeah.
I've seen that before with kids. It's a boat. It's not uncommon.
And so when they got into writing these maths trails, where they actually set up their own problems and they had to think about what does it make it a problem? Well, it has to be something which engages the students. Then it actually sort of dawned on her that there was more to maths than just being able to get an answer in 10 seconds.
It's such a shame, though, that some kids will go through school never seeing that side, because the narrow curriculum that doesn't allow people to...
But it was also the fact that the school didn't know what to do with her, and her only solution was to push her forward.
And one of the children I talked to in my PhD project back in Denmark, I mean, this is a very well-known phenomenon, but she phrased it the way that there are different problems. There are the ones you can solve straight away, then there are the ones you have to think about, and then there's the impossible ones. And the impossible one is the one that takes more than 2 minutes. And you can find, and you find that in research with very little variation in the last 40 years.
That's because of classroom environments where there's not enough, the structure doesn't allow for scaffolding of long problems.
Because mathematics has this sort of a notion to it that it's good to be quick. And teachers set up these competitions about who can answer these questions the quickest. And then it's always the three same children who actually compete about the three first. So the gold and the silver and the bronze. And the rest of them, they sort of,
And see, things like the interactive whiteboard, which encourage a sort of rapid-fire turn-taking sort of pedagogy, just a further, going further down that path.
Yeah.
I guess... we'll be thinking about technology and learning, one-to-one laptop environments where you can have individuals working on their own problems and setting their own problems and solving them is a really good way of getting away from that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think in maths as well, I don't think teachers are necessarily, that they can actually see the mathematics in the everyday. I don't think that they're experienced at seeing that. And they're looking for the mathematics in the everyday, practices of the child and within the technology. I don't know whether, they're able to make those explicit connections for children.
Well, the next generation that are trained with us will, won't they?
Of course they will.
You guys will.
But I think you're right. I mean, we just marked these exams. And one of the questions was about a very, it was from the Enrich side in the UK. It was sort of a machine type thing. You drop a number in and then you take what comes out, you drop it in again, and then you look at the last digit, and then that's a problem. And some of the students, they saw this as a brilliant example of how to connect to everyday life and things like that. I mean, it had absolutely no connection to it. But so I think you're right, they don't see it.
I think We just had a distance ed subject, and one of the assignment tasks was for the pre-service teachers to talk about their own mathematical experiences, and it wasn't until they unpacked that process, until they saw, you know, how much mathematics was a part of their life. And many of them have since, you know, sent emails and made comments. You know, I thought I was, my math skills were really poor, but now I see, you know, my dad, I've been helping him as a builder for years, and you know, in the context of the classroom, I'm not very good at mathematics, I'm not good at measurement, but when I'm working with dad, I'm really good at it. So I think, yeah, it's important to make those connections for kids as well as for teachers. To be able to, like I guess, be empowered to make those connections, be able to make those connections for kids. But this was really good, Tams, and I think that, and Charles, I think it's quite a powerful tool that could be used in the classroom. I've used Kahoots, and I don't know if you're familiar with Kahoots, but it's very similar, and kids create projects, and you know, some of the mathematical thinking behind the projects that they create is just, it's really powerful and exciting as a teacher to watch. But, you know, unless you make those connections, the kids, they're not necessarily able to make them themselves. But I think this is something that could be explored in more detail. Mm-hmm. And I'd be excited to hear what else you looked at.
Captain, how frustrated did the children get with this?
As I say, there was a period in the middle where they were extremely frustrated because they knew what they wanted to do, but they didn't have the skills or the knowledge to do it. And that's where I tried to go and find someone to give them a hand. And they all talk about various points of being frustrated in the process. Some of them it's more explicit in their presentations, and some of them I know because you talk about it with them. But they all got over the hurdle at some point in time, because it was sort of like, you know, at that point of time I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe we should just abandon this because this guy's broken his leg and I don't have time, and we'll just go back to the lunchbox problems or whatever else that I know works. But somehow they these couple of boys got onto the web and found the scripts, and we used that to move around, and they seemed to just sort of move on with it. So I just went back and go, oh, okay, if that's how it seems, then I'll just lead them through until the end of term, because that was what the arrangement was. And actually this term, we only had three meetings this term. One of them was their presentations, and then there were two after that. But they were still very keen to work on more of the stuff on the project. So it's sort of, they get torn, I think, between being frustrated and just wanting to give it up and just wanting to move on to it. And if they had someone who had more time, who could actually work through these things with them and be able to sort of point them in a direction, I think it would have been less frustrating. But on the other hand, I think frustration and actually recognising that as part of problem solving is important for them. I think in some ways we make life too simple by just sweeping everything out of their way and just go, all you have to do is to walk over, this guy Dan Meyer that we showed to the student teacher says, just walk over the small cracks in the pavement because we've got rid of all the major hurdles. Frustration's a normal part of life, and you actually have to find a solution to your frustration.
Did you find the boys and the girls approach that frustration differently?
The boys were more noisy about it.
That's expensive.
But on
some
the...
Some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them certainly were fulfilled their role as boys.
Yeah. What about the individual versus group thing? Were girls more inclined to work together in solving those sorts
yes.
of problems?
Yes, although the boys, if they heard, like when David worked out how to get the bouncing thing round, they were all over there, and he just took on this role. I think it was the first time in his entire life where he actually knew something more than anybody else, and other people wanted to know it from him. It wasn't that he didn't have times where he knew things more than other people, but nobody really... And I
No one really cared the rest of the time.
That's right. And I was talking to his mother, came to see us actually when she finished her internship. She popped into I was sitting in Trolls' office, and she popped in to say how it had been that he and his friend, other friend who also comes to Maths Club, they get bullied a lot at school. They're different because they're Maths geeks and they get bullied a lot. And so this, for him, was one of those sorts of a time of building his self-esteem. And then his mother started to use Scratch on her internship because she wanted to put something together to do something with the students. And so she was relying on him to show her how to get this done. So again, it was just the sort of, you know, that the teaching in this interaction becomes the self-esteem thing for them. So yeah, the girls might work more together, but the boys also work together, but in different ways.
And I think that's the point. I think the ways girls work together look different from the ways boys work together.
Mm.
Because, I mean, girls are sort of more cuddly when they work together, where boys, they do it in different ways.
Yes.
And
like a quick,
there's an interesting,
let me just show you.
Yeah. And then I go back and
sorry,
do it.
Sorry,
yeah.
There's an interesting paper by Golden on the ideas of problem solving and affect.
Yeah.
Frustration. I don't know whether you know that one.
No, I know some of his.
The ENA one.
Yeah. I know some of his work because a PhD student of mine uses him quite a lot because she's working on affect and things. This is the last one, and I don't know whether I can get it to work because it's actually designed for a interactive whiteboard. She says.
I think you
got to touch that.
Yeah.
Cool. That's
cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Did it jump in the direction of the thing?
Well, I have to give it the trajectory.
Yeah, but you're giving it far too much.
Give it a shorter one. I want to see if it goes slower.
It's the angle and the length of the line.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's good. That's impressive. Because they've worked out vectors and like.
Yes, it is. It's sort of a kind of a,
Well,
the vector indicates the acceleration.
It's actually the impulse.
Right?
It's the impulse he's setting.
Because it goes further. It's actually the acceleration. Like the vector indicates the acceleration because it's not
or
is
you think
the initial velocity.
No, it's the force times the velocity, isn't it?
That's a science person.
No, it's a mass times velocity,
And how old is
this guy?
So it is the velocity and the direction.
It's not acceleration.
He's year six, 12-year-old.
12, yeah.
What he's done is he's got a lot of script from other people. And the point of having to get them to explain the mass is that he had to go in and actually discover what he was doing to work out what the maths part of this was. So he hasn't built it from scratch himself. He has used somebody else's program.
That's a valuable skill in itself, how to build building blocks from elsewhere and turn them into something.
Yeah, that was a reaction in Bournemouth.
Yeah.
I'm not going into the next.
You can see you can see that this is not going to happen for me.
Do you remember in the old DOS days there was a program that came with the old Windows days, there was a program that came free with Windows where they had two monkeys throwing bananas at each other. And it was also about setting the angle and the velocity. And
don't get it from there.
Cool.
Yeah, it was one on golf too.
Yeah.
You've obviously had a life playing with games on computers. You know, Pong game came out when I was finishing high school, so I've just missed this part of my life.
I have a life experience watching my brothers.
Go, Tamsin, you can do it.
I don't know that I can do it.
A little longer.
Wrong angle.
Yeah. Closer. The angle.
Yeah, a little more.
Flatter angle.
Yeah. More. A little.
Smaller angle. Yes.
Come on.
More. Come on. Yes.
And up now.
Now, can I just talk a bit about the group? Are you finished?
Yeah, I am finished. There we go.
And I... Tamsin, that was really a really good session, and I just wanted to sort of, I guess, make a point that I think I'd like to see, as this group evolves, if we continue with it next year, and I think the fact that people are turning up, and I think we've had a couple of really interesting discussions the last couple of weeks, means that we should. But I think it's nice that we can accommodate both the sort of presentation which is more focused on a complete research project that has some clear sort of stuff like Pennies, for example, where you've sort of published some stuff and it's, you know, it's nicely self-contained and, it's a research presentation. And Tamsin's, which is a bit more embryonic, where you're talking about, you know what I mean? What I mean to say is that you're not presenting it like a research seminar. You're presenting it as a work in progress about some research you're doing, and it's an open conversation about what the research issues are. And I think if we can accommodate that sort of breadth, I think it means that we can stimulate each other's thinking, I guess, about technology and learning, as well as hearing about research that people are doing. So I don't know what others think, but... Now, we did intend, in the terms of what we sort of set out to do over the course of this year with the group, we intended to have a face-to-face get-together at one stage, and we had some money in the budget to sort of allow travel for that. I still have in my head that it might be possible to do that maybe in December, when we've A, got our marks in, and B, recovered a bit from 2 semesters straight of teaching. What do people think of that? I mean, obviously, most of us are here in one place, so it's not hard for us to be face-to-face. Wendy and Kay, would you be interested in travelling somewhere nearby?
It links on to the days we go down there for the maths prac.
Because Kay...
that would work.
Yeah, Kay and Wendy are coming the 21st, starting lunchtime 21st and finishing lunchtime 22nd.
Yeah.
Of December. What days of the week are those?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Just as an initial idea, would that, Wendy and Kay, would that work to have an extra day tapped onto that? Probably.
That would be terrific for me.
Yeah, that would suit me best.
What about
either before or after?
I mean, I guess it makes sense to do it here because there's more people here. I feel a bit sort of selfish about saying, yeah, we'll have a get-together and you guys will travel. But if you two in particular are coming, then that's two. When are you coming back to Australia, Jenny?
I'll get back just after Christmas.
Right. So we probably don't have enough in the budget for you to have a quick flight over for...
Sorry.
I mean, it's marginally possible that we'll... find it that people won't be able to get together at that time of year, in which case we might put it off till January, or it's possible we'll do both and get some more money. So let's just keep talking about possible dates for that. I might send around an email just with some specific questions for people just to respond to in relation to how we proceed for next year. But my thinking at the moment is that I'm going to go and ask for some more money and keep going in the same sort of way, do you think?
The richness is in the conversation, I have to say. Mm.
Mm. Well, that's, that's the way I've tried to sell it to Terpa, is to say, don't expect high-profile outputs from us at the beginning. We're going to start talking and we will build collaborations out of the talking rather than tell you what the collaborations will be at the beginning.
I think it's fantastic, Bonnie. When do we get, in our busy lives, opportunity just to talk about research and what we're doing and new projects and papers? I'm really enjoying it and getting a lot from it.
Thanks. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, let's run off back to our marking and emails or whatever else. And I'll send some emails around about dates.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.